90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Make sure you stay tuned. Next half hour, I'll be doing your news across Indian country and letting you know what's been going on. We've had some interesting stories going on this week. We're also going to be talking about the Oregon militia standoff with some Burns Paiute tribal members calling in. Hopefully in about 5 minutes. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Also be doing an update on the Frozen in Time, Kansas City Public Library exhibit on Wounded Knee. If you were listening a couple of weeks ago, we talked with a woman who had visited the exhibit and, was, offended by remarks made, during the introduction of the exhibit. And, it was a joke gone badly, let's just say that. And I talked with the public relations people, media people, and they just want to make sure that, you know, that we all understand what was happening. And they invited me over, and I went over there to visit with a friend of mine, an Oglala Lakota tribal member. And yeah, so it was interesting. So I'll be talking about that later on. We'll get started with some music and some Come and Get Your Love. So thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. And like I said, I was going to have a gentleman on the air, Mr. Jarvis Kennedy. Are you there? Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Mr. Kennedy is a tribal council member with the Burns Paiute Tribe. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we've been talking about this Oregon standoff going on and kind of how ridiculous, how long it's been going on, that no action has been taken. What is the general feeling from your tribe about what is happening?
Well, we feel the same way, and it was kind of surprising when they did make those arrests and Mr. Vavoy ended up getting shot and killed. I was there at the FBI press conference and actually seen that video when that press conference was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't expecting to see that video right then and there, right on a big flat screen TV a couple feet in front of me. So that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the stories, that your tribe's story hasn't really, come out or been told, but how ironic is that these ranchers want the land turned over to them.
Yeah, and like we've said before, we didn't give nothing up. We didn't sign no treaties. We didn't sign our rights away or give any of our land up. We were just pretty much killed off, ran off, and marched in knee-deep snow up to the forts up in Washington. So we didn't give nothing up. We just got overran. And by the time we got out of the forts and so forth, and we started coming back down here, everything was already taken.
Yeah, it's a story that a lot of tribes hear.
Yeah.
The other thing, we were talking about them rifling through the tribal artifacts that were housed there. What is your tribe's feeling about what happened?
Well, as Native people, we know better not to even deal with all that type of stuff, let alone disrespect it. And look what happened to him. He was the one that was messing with it, and he's no longer with us, so that tells you there's other things that was working against him, as I believe in, and probably a few other Natives. But,
yeah.
I personally feel like they weren't getting their fight with the government, so they were trying to rile us up and get us all, trying to fight with us.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about the whole thing.
And there's still a few left that are there?
Yeah, as far as I know, there's four left. And they bunkered down, used a backhoe and dug into that ground. And, made their bunkers and put cement blocks all the way around them,
And it's terrible how they're tearing up the land.
Oh, yeah. Well, that where they occupy it at, that's been our Paiute gathering winter spot for thousands of years, And we all know as Native people back in the day, a lot of elders passed away, a lot of babies passed away, and people got sick during that time, so... There's people buried all around there, we had a flood, I think, back in the 90s or 80s, I can't remember. But when that water receded, a lot of burials were open,
Wow, that's something I hadn't heard about.
Yeah, so that whole site out there, you could just walk along and you could see chips, flakings of somebody, making something, arrowhead or a spearhead or something. And it's all out there. Like we said, there's documents, paperwork that was out there, all those artifacts, maps, GPS, markings out there. And we don't know what's been taken, what's been photographed, what's been Xerox copied or you know, facts anywhere else. You know, we have a problem with looters just like every other tribe out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then plus the government had that road open, so who knows? It could be in my neighbor's, you know, on their shelf. Could be on eBay right now. Could be in someone hanging in someone's truck, you know. We don't know.
That's just terrible and something that, yeah, that's all tribes face. Now, with the ones that are left there, what is your tribal council? What do they want them to do?
Well, like all the rest of them, they just need to go, you know, face the music. I mean, what are they accomplishing? I'm sitting here in front of my stove. They're out there freezing because it's wintertime over here, you know, and our winters are kind of a little harsh. And, you know, I guess they cut off the internet power and they don't got no power. About time. Only took them about a month to do that. They don't have no access to come into town anymore like all the other ones did and so forth. So, you know, I guess they're facing charges now. I just got back from Squamish, Washington up there from their tribe. I was up there at the AT&I meeting, the Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians meeting conference up there. I was up there for a week.
Mm.
And I just got back, Friday? Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting to hear the other side of what's been going on, because we really haven't been hearing about, you know, your tribal council is feeling about this whole situation.
Well, it was kind of scary. It was a little hairy there when they all got arrested and Mr. Lavoie got killed, because we didn't know their frame of mind. You know, first off, there are all these kind of nutcases coming around over here packing, you know, all packing guns and stuff, and we didn't know what their frame of mind was, so of course we bunkered down as well and was ready for the worst. You know, I was waiting for some shots to ring out, and, you know, we all have firearms just as well. And the media don't know about all that part. You know, they only get what they want to show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we were. Even our tribal chairwoman, she had hers ready. Even our other chair, you know, tribal councilman was ready. I know them. We had some people, like, posted up on the res, keeping watch. Usually we had a fire going, but we let the fire out, and people were watching, you know, seeing who comes and goes on the reservation, and we're just waiting. I had some friends that work in the BLM, and me and him was keeping in contact, and he said he was bunkered down, had his guns already. So that's how it was, and nobody knows about that part. You know, like I said, we didn't know the frame of mind. We weren't scared of them. We were just expecting the worst, and, you know, never know with all those type of people.
Well, thank you, Jarvis, for, you know, letting us know about some of these things going on and the extent of the damage that's been done. We really appreciate you being on the air with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And, you know, feel free to call and check up on the tribe. And like I said, we didn't want no bloodshed or anything. We don't want anybody to get hurt. You know, there's a lot of Indians that are across this land that was mad and wanted to come down here and kind of pick up arms and take those guys off the land themselves. But we didn't ask that. It was hard to keep our own people at bay, let alone everybody else from other reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And we just asked for prayers. And as you can tell, you know, the prayers helped out a lot, kept us in line, and, you know, and that's the last thing we wanted was bloodshed, let alone anybody else getting hurt.
Definitely.
We just wanted to thank everybody out there in Indian land for their prayers and their good thoughts, and people in the sweat lodges and so forth. You know, it all helped and it made us strong, and we knew we weren't alone. You know, so, you know, we knew if we needed help, help would have been there pretty fast if we really needed it that bad.
Yes, and for sure we'll keep sending those prayers out to your tribe as well. Thank you again, Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah, you have a good day.
Thank you. So that was Jarvis Kennedy with the Burns Tribal Council. And he was talking about the Oregon standoff that was going on. All right, we'll get back into our music and some Northern Cree. And I'll be back on to let you know what other news is going on across the Indian country.
This is Grant Conrad, with a reminder of some of the very special gifts we have to thank you with. All of these have to be on a credit card only. At the $75 level, there's a brand new KKFI collaboration CD featuring distinct collaborations such as BCR with Betsy Ellis and Bill Dye. At the $90 level, you have your choice of the KKFI t-shirt or a pass to the Kansas City Folk Fest at the Weston Crown Center on Sunday, February 21st. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., artists include Making Movies, The Big Oak Tree, Lisa Sanders, Blind Boy Paxton, and many more. At the $150 level, you can get the guest DJ for 1 hour. At the $200 level, you can get the guest DJ as well as the t-shirt or a pair of tickets to the KC Folk Fest. The number to call is 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. Or you can go online as well at kkfi.org. But you can call now at 888-931-0901.
Hey, oh, 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 hey, oh ho, hey, ho, hey, hey. Southern man, hey oh hi, oh hi, oh, and I will hold you all night long. I will sing you sweet love songs. If you love me, take my hand. I will be your Southern man, hey oh hi, hey oh hi,
oh hi.
You to know that I put my heart into. I get inspired every time that I speak to you. I can acknowledge all the things that you're going through. And trust me when I say that I've been in your shoes. Locked up before for breaking all of the rules. I felt alone, so I posted up in my room. With thoughts of suicide, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. If I end it all, who's gonna care? Picture my feeling, who's all there? That constant feeling of despair. Zoned out with a blank stare in that moment. I'm trying to decide my fate with war paint written all across my face. The ancestors fought hard and never gave up this easily. So I find something deep inside of me. To my dream or your family, thanks for believing in me. Together with the you, we gon' make some history.
Shadows settle in the place.
dear native youth. Yes, I'm still talking to you. I promise you, owning the truth, that's all I know how to do. Too many years of constant being lied to. I know how you feel. You probably have it up to here. And take a moment from wiping the stairs. Close your eyes for a second. Imagine you no longer living in fear. Keep your head above the clouds and know it gets better from here. Pretend for 1 second, Pop's putting down a beer as he puts arms around you so you feel how love heals. How love heals. How love heals. It's not your fault that love for your life, it just disappears. It disappears. It disappears. I know the pain suffocates and takes you to a distant place. A youth among all experience the highest rate. We got a promise, we will never let the youth fade away. This is more than Twitter hashtags, dear native youth.
Shadows settle in the place.
Native youth.
Howdy, folks. This is Joe Ely from Lubbock, Texas. Please show your support for community radio by pledging to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City's community radio.
All right. Yes, we are in our pledge drive right now. So you want to hear some great native music and native news and having interviews with people talking about issues that are going on all around the United States that, you know, we don't know what the real issues are and or what is really going on. And it's good to hear our native people explaining some of these things of what's really happening. And you want to continue to hear that. You need to pledge some whatever you can to us, and the number is 888-931-0901, 888-931-0901, or you can go online at kkfi.org and make a pledge there, so please do so. All right, so we just finished talking with Jarvis Kennedy. He was a Burns Tribal Councilman up there in Oregon, explaining what was going on. We also have another young lady in with us. This is Simona Charles. She's a Haskell student, but she also has relatives from the Burns Tribal that are Burns Tribal members, and explain a little bit more about the Oregon standoff. We were just talking about how we really don't understand the issue, and so I would have Simona talk about what the land up there, what do your people use the land up there for?
So we currently have an allotment that was given to us, and unfortunately some of these men, cattlemen and other individuals just want to take our land, and they actually illegally cut our fences and allow their cattle just to graze on our land as if it's nobody's land, but it is our Paiute people's land, and those allotments still do belong to us, and it is disrespectful for them to show as if they're doing something great when they're actually breaking the law and not respectfully respecting us as Native Americans, as Burns Paiutes as well. And they continue to harass our people and act like as if they're doing something great for everybody across the nation, and they're not. They're harassing our people, threatening them, and unfortunately those things are the things that they don't talk about in the news. And it's now we're here, we want to stand up for our people and tell what's really going on.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, we're seeing them, like, standing against the authority of the government, you know, and, like, it's, like, a great thing, but really they're not, you know, respecting our native people out there, and especially because I hadn't heard about the, how there was burials there, and so when they plowed the land.
Yeah, they actually plowed the land, and it's, our elders are still laying there, our relatives are still there, and, my paternal grandfather still is on the Burns Oregon Reservation, and it may be a small reservation, but that still belonged to all of us, and we still go root digging there, and we have a lot of our tradition is still held there, and if they just disrespect it, we won't have anything left, and our people remains. I mean, that's pulling up a burial ground. It's disrespectful.
Definitely. I was shocked because I didn't know anything about that. And I think a lot of our listeners don't, or and a lot of people who are watching the news. You know, we talked about how, like, how long it's taken for any action to be done.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, why is it taking so long?
Yeah, again, and then I personally actually called in to the Burns police station, and some of the police officers just hung up on me when I was trying to file harassment charges on these gentlemen that were actually following my relative around. And they just kind of giggled and laughed and hung up and thought it was funny. And I asked them for their complaint address, and they said they didn't have one. And one young lady was very nice and actually said, yeah, I'll give you the complaint address, but I had to call back multiple times. But nobody hears about that, and it's kind of like as if we as Native people always get pushed off to the side, and that's not who we are. We're educated, we're smart people, and we're going to stand our ground on this, and those people should be held accountable. And a lot of those people just got to get on airplanes and fly home, and they weren't even charged with anything yet for taking firearms on government federal land, which is illegal. So they do need to be held accountable. And I encourage anybody to file a complaint on the police officers out there, the sheriff, the people that actually did not help to take those people off that land right away.
That's terrible. And it's like, here you have people with guns actually harassing another person and nothing's being done.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing was done. And I mean, obviously, even just the Harney County residents were afraid. The children weren't able to go to school because they were afraid that somebody would come in there with an armed gun. And with the things that are going on in the world today, that's not fair to our children, to our next generation, to live in fear for people that are fighting for something that they say is not right and not telling the truth about themselves and harassing our people.
Yeah, that's just sad. And like, we compare it to the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, like, those people had no guns, had no weapons, were just in a mall, and they got taken in.
Yeah, or their lives even taken away from their family, and it's horrible. And these people got to stay there for 30-some days and drive around Burns, Oregon, and go grocery shopping in our grocery stores and harass our people, and it's just not fair. It's not equal, and it needs to be held accountable for.
Yeah, and there's still, Mr. Kennedy said there's still four people there that are just holed up, and they've cut off all the electricity, and it's cold.
Yes.
But I'm wondering how long, again, it's like, how long? Why can't they just go in there and take them and arrest them?
Right, absolutely, and that's what we feel as Native people. If it was the opposite, or if it was vice versa, I think we would all been in handcuffs, or we would all been breaking the law, doing something wrong, even though that is our land, and it's not right. It's not fair for them just to get away with anything and get to stay there. And if the tables were turned, we'd all be arrested, possibly shot and dead, and laying there with our ancestors. So I think that the government definitely needs to take responsibility and get them off the land.
Yeah, and, you know, and even look at Wounded Knee. When Wounded Knee happened in the 70s, you know, Army came in,
yeah,
you know, with guns, and you know, it's Indians occupying their own land.
Yeah, it doesn't quite make sense. And if you notice on the TV and the replays, they're actually showing the sheriff and some of the FBI shaking hands with these people as if they were good people. And here they, you know, they pretty much said publicly that they would shoot the government or anybody else that tried to come and remove them off the land. But yet we get tanks brought in to take us out, and we're just literally trying to fight for the right reasons, which is we are the occupiers, and we try to take care of the land versus destroy it.
Yeah, it's very sad. Well, thanks, Simona, for coming in and talking about this. I mean, it's really important that the real story gets told.
Absolutely.
I mean, because, like, we don't know. We never hear about that. I didn't know. I mean, I was kind of like, what is going on? You know, I don't really understand. But it's good
Absolutely.
To have, yeah, it's good to have the voice of our Native people and explaining this and really the issue at hand. And we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And so it's funny we talked about Wounded Knee because so I was talking about the Wounded Knee exhibit at Kansas City Public Library, the Frozen in Time. So if you guys listened a couple weeks ago, I was tweeting a young lady who tweeted a comment made by one of the gentlemen at that exhibit about Wounded Knee, and he was making a joke. He said, on this day of Wounded Knees, which was football day, and it was a reference to football, but at the same time, it was very, you know, just tacky and should not have been said. And when you make a joke about a massacre and people losing their lives, you know, it's not funny. Nobody makes jokes about 9/11.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, well, we're just, you know, fodder for you to make a joke, you know. And we had her call in, and she talked about what had happened. And their public relations people contacted me because I was tweeting about it. Kansas City Library was after me after that, you know, and trying to clean it up. And I understand that. You don't want to make things look bad, and that's understandable. I had a very nice conversation with Ms. Coogan, and she invited me out to go come see the exhibit, which I told them I would never, ever go because I don't think displaying our people's bodies on a display is a good thing. I just don't like that. But since they invited me, I figured I'd go see what it was about, you know, have an open mind. Yeah. And I took my friend, who's a La Lakota, with me, Mr. Mari Spala, and to get his opinion, too, because I can't speak for the Lakota people. I'm not Lakota. I'm Acoma Pueblo, and just, you know, expressing my own thoughts. And, you know, my whole thing was, they could have done that exhibit. It was great, a great exhibit. They could have done it without using those pictures. And they could have made a bigger statement by not displaying those pictures and saying, we choose not to display these images out of respect, to our, the Lakota people. The other pictures were great. And they were showing how there was a lot of misrepresentation in those pictures, how they faked a lot of pictures. Like, there was actually no pictures of when it was actually going on, but they faked some of the Army soldiers shooting. Right. You know, and I like that part of it. You know, it was good to show that part. But again, I just think they could have done it without without those pictures in the display. The gentleman who wrote the book, he explained that, well, those pictures are, people use those pictures. It's historical documents, and you can find them anywhere. I was like, well, yeah. Will say, go look online if you want to see these pictures.
Right.
But I just think you could have had a better, I don't know, it just would have done so much better if you just didn't have those pictures on display. Just, I think those people, those are someone's relatives, and you just don't put that up there. It just was really, to me, disrespectful. My friend Maury, you know, he said his family would never visit an exhibit like that. But he understood the historical part of it. But it, again, it doesn't mean you need to display those types of pictures. And I was like, if you went to a Holocaust museum, are they displaying bodies, people being burned in a gas chamber? No, of course not. I don't know why we have to do that with our Indian people or why it's being done. We had a good conversation. And you know, we developed a relationship so that maybe we can go and help them do something else, a different display, which is good. They want to be inclusive, and they apologize for the comment and everything like that. So it ended up being a good conversation, but I'm just still adamant. I refuse to budge on displaying the picture. They don't need to be displayed.
Absolutely.
And I just don't see the purpose in that. I just don't. And I probably will never budge on that issue, but it was good. It's good Kansas City Public Library reached out to us and included us in that conversation. So I was very happy about it. You know, that's good. It's a good thing to have.
Right.
We talked about doing maybe doing one of the Kansas City Chiefs issues, and how a lot of people don't realize that that is an issue. So, so that, you know, that could be something, a display and talking about that and what all the size of that is. So it was very interesting. So I was like, you know, okay, we're good, you know, we're good on this. And it was the first time I've been to Kansas City Public Library. So, it was nice. I've never been to the library before. It's very beautiful. Have you ever been there?
I have not been there. They say it's one of the best public libraries across the nation, which is really nice. But I definitely agree with you with showing our elders frozen in the snow. It is very disrespectful because that's somebody's grandparent or great-grandparent.
Yeah.
Or somebody's father. I mean, somebody that may still be alive and think it's very distasteful, absolutely. And they should maybe do a little bit more research before they host functions like that and maybe get more insight from Native people.
And the guy who wrote the book, you know, like I said, he did a lot of great other pictures of, like, how it was misrepresented, a lot of the pictures. And, you know, and that was interesting. I guess why they did the display was because there is actually, Kansas City Public Library has these pictures, has some pictures in their collection.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't know how, but they had them. So that's why they decided to do the display, and they got these pictures from all sorts of other museums, too. So, but yeah, I mean, it was an interesting historical thing going on. So, yeah, but yeah, they did give us a book. It was, I think it's called Frozen Time. The gentleman who wrote it. He works at the library, and so he gave it to us, and so we actually gave it to Haskell.
Oh, wow.
So they'll put it on display. It is a good, I mean, it is, I think it'll be a good research material for any student. So.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So
that's great.
We did a good thing.
Absolutely.
And we caused ruckus in Kansas City for a little bit. I don't know. I was like, whatever.
Well, I think also, like with you mentioning the Kansas City Chiefs, I know, was it a couple of years ago, they had our, let's give the Redskins who were going to give them alcohol and send them to a reservation on the mm-hmm. Sonic billboard. And, you know, that's just, I think Kansas City needs some more education, and we're definitely here to give it to them.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So we're not all alcoholics, and I think it's a good partnership to finally open that door and that segue to start.
Yeah, and I definitely think it'll be people who will be upset. You
absolutely.
Know, like, you know, whatever. An interesting thing about that, they were talking about how the color, like Kansas City Royals is blue and the Sporting KC
is red.
It was blue. But Kansas City Chiefs is red.
Yeah.
And they're like, why isn't it blue? And they're like, they should just change. Somebody made this comment on the radio. They're like, they should change the colors and the logo. And so it stops. We get rid of everything and it stops, you know, dehumanizing Native Americans.
Right.
And I was like, that is such a good idea. I was like, yeah, why isn't it blue? I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I know a lot of people are upset about it. I mean, I tweeted a picture, a lady had posted a picture of when the Kansas City was playing in the playoffs, and they had fans out there, and they dressed in full red face and headdress.
And the fake headdresses.
Yeah.
I seen that as well online, and that is, yeah, it's, we're not red.
I know.
For one, but it, I mean, we obviously want to try to take away and get rid of racism, but yet it's still okay, it's still publicly okay for them to kind of, I guess, just dehumanize us.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, learning about culture, what our real culture is and what our real, you know, what we do, as opposed to what they think we look like.
Absolutely.
And one of the stories I was going to talk about, but I can't, it's almost running out of time, but it was about the Navajo Nation and their young ladies who were playing in a basketball game, and they put their hair in a traditional Navajo bun, and the referee told them they couldn't have it. It was their Native Cultural Appreciation Night, and that's why they did it. They all had their hair up like that, and they told them they couldn't do it because it was like the yarn was a potential hazard. I don't know how, but
right.
I was like, what about with girls with long hair? You know,
yeah.
how's that not a hazard?
Like, absolutely.
Get whipped with a braid, you know?
Right.
But I was like, okay, but that was, they were referring to their rule book. And so they made them take their hair down. And so people heard about it. Whoa, which is, you know, was big news in Arizona and New Mexico. They actually did apologize. The Arizona Interscholastic Association, they apologized. They said, it's a good teaching moment. And so they let them wear their hair up. They said anyone can wear their hair up. But they were just referencing that as a rule.
Right.
But a lot of people were like, yeah.
And sometimes, we as individuals that are actually going through it at the time, like we said, we're educating people, is it could have, we don't know the situation full at hand, just like with the militia in Burns, Oregon, mm-hmm. and our people. It could be one person trying to personally attack our people, and then everybody else has to get involved and help defend our people.
And that's what Mr. Kennedy was talking about. He said they got a lot of other tribes calling and say, what do you need? You need some help? You
know? Yeah.
Like people wanting to come up and help. And I was like, wow. It's like, we all got your back.
Yes.
We'll be there. Yeah. That was great. That's great. That we're all willing to help each other out and, you know, see what we can do. But yeah, I was kind of surprised about that.
Yeah. And I think it's, I just read the article where one of the gentlemen who had to leave that area that night actually had to drive with his headlights off because he knew they were armed coming in after them, and he was just there to feed the birds. And we as Native people, we like to take care of everybody and the animals. And mm-hmm. here he had to flee for his life because they were coming in with guns.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's just crazy that it's allowed, and we as Native people, we care about our communities, we care about our people, the animals, and to prolong everybody's life, not just ours.
Yeah, definitely, it is important, and you know, we're the ones taking care of the land.
Absolutely,
nobody else seems to care about that sometimes, but we're the ones doing it. So,
or understand how important water is, and
the
issue with the Flint.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's, you know, and the funny thing is they're bringing up about Flint was, well, Flint's not the only place that has bad water. A lot of reservations have really bad water as well.
Yeah.
That is contaminated.
With the uranium spills and everything. Our half of our family's from Nevada, and they did the same thing, and the water poured and leaked into our water lines, and people are getting cancer, and, those things need to be held accountable. And I think that's one great reason why we have Haskell Indian Nations University, where we can get educated and become lawyers and work for the EPA and do things, you know, to change,
mm-hmm.
to change for the better for everybody, for not just us, but obviously cancer is now a big issue just across the board.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thanks, Simona, for being here and explaining again a little bit more about the Oregon militia standoff.
Absolutely.
And we'll see how long it's going to go.
Yeah. Four more.
It's like, get them off.
Yes, get them off.
All right. Well, we'll get back into the music real quick here, and then I'll be back.
I dreamed I saw crazy hooks riding to the Badlands. He was wild and brave and free. I swear I heard the cries of the innocent victims in the wind of wounded knee. And there's a trail of tears we could follow. Can you hear the footsteps of the Cherokee? It's a trail of broken promises. Will you walk this trail with me? We can find America down the trail of freedom. Walk the way of my fathers from sea to sea. Oh, can you find America? Hear the drums of freedom. Gonna find it together, walk this trail.
walk the trail with me. I felt the Chippewa wind off Lake Michigan on a cold Chicago day. I heard the thunder roll for the Seminole way down in the Everglades. And I've seen it in the beauty of a Navajo girl like a flower in the desert. I felt it in the pride of a Cheyenne dancer as he moves to an ancient beat. Oh, can you find America down the trail of freedom? Walk the way of my fathers from sea to sea. Yeah, we can find America. Hear the drums of freedom. Gonna find it together, walk this trail. Walk the trail with me. I walked the streets of Gallup, New Mexico on a Saturday night. I watched my brothers fall to the alcohol. They were going down without a fight. Hey, brothers, we must walk with the pride of Chief Joseph. Have the courage of Geronimo. This trail, it's long, so you have to be strong just to find your way back home. And we can find America down the trail of freedom. Walk the way of my fathers from sea to sea. Oh, can you find America? Hear the drums of freedom. You're gonna find it. Walk this trail. Walk the trail with me.
All right, it's about my time to be getting out of here, and Sunset Reggae is coming up for you next here, so make sure you stay tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Remember, again, we're in our winter pledge drive. You can call at 888-931-0901. Again, that's 888-931-0901. If you enjoy hearing Native music and Native interviews and getting the backstory, a lot of other stories going on. Sorry, I could not read the news today, but I'll catch you up in the following weeks of what's been going on. But yeah, the Navajo hairstyle, Navajo hair bun controversy was just kind of one of the big ones that was going on. I'll be leaving you off with some Northern Cree. Have a great weekend.